Thank you for tuning into the Model Connection Podcast. I am your host, Eric Errol. Please like, follow, and subscribe on social media and everywhere you get your podcast. Links are in the description. With us today is a very special guest.
My name is Dennis Schroeder. I'm a retired Army officer. I live in White House, Tennessee, and I love doing photography. And I'm very excited to be here on the Model Connection podcast.
So thank you for being on this episode of the Model Connection podcast. You've been doing photography how long now?
I've been doing photography pretty much my whole life. I fell in love with photography as a child. My grandparents had large collections of National Geographics, and as a small kid, I'd be reading through those magazines and just fascinated by the photography that they had
in there,
and was very much inspired by them. So I got my own camera probably when I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
And I would shoot whatever interested me. I know that this was back when, you know, it was all film cameras.
Right.
And I wanted to take pictures of people, but I was so focused on, do I have the settings right? And, you know, all of that, people got very frustrated with me.
Hey, everybody's got to learn somehow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I wound up doing landscape photography. I wound up taking photos of things that were small that I liked, like flowers and rocks and things like that, close-up photography, for probably 20 years or so. And it was really after I retired from the Army and that I really got into shooting people again.
Okay, okay.
By then, digital photography was a thing. It was real.
Yes.
We still didn't have the kind of quality images, but it was like it gave me immediate feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So people didn't have to be sitting around, you know, how long is it going to take this guy to get his settings right and take the shot, you know?
Right.
And I started shooting models about 10 years ago.
Okay.
I retired from the Army in 2000. 11 years later, I was asked to come back on active duty and did 2 years up at Fort Knox.
Thank you.
While I was there, I started a meetup group. I don't think the group exists any longer, but the intent behind that was so that we could get aspiring photographers, like I felt I was at that time, you know, working with models, and people who were thinking about modeling or wanting to get into the modeling business, to be able to feel safer, because it's like, okay, I didn't have a portfolio, I didn't have a body of work that people could look at, and that's really where most of my photography contacts have continued to be to this day. So I get up to the Louisville area about twice a month, and about a quarter of the time that I go there, I have somebody to do a photo shoot with. So,
well, great.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I know that going through the National Geographic magazines and seeing the close-up images that they've got, I'm like, okay, how did you have enough courage to do that, you know?
Right.
I mean, that must have been so all inspiring right there and get you really involved and interested in doing photography.
Right. Yeah, it was, I loved the close-up shots that they got of the wildlife, and I discovered relatively soon that, you know, they had these gigantic, enormous lenses.
Yeah.
Which I still have never been able to afford to get one for myself, but it's just, okay, it was not just the fact they had captured this wildlife, but they would capture the people in the areas too.
Yes.
And
yes.
So, and just the quality of the work that they did was just awesome. It was amazing to me.
National Geographic has to be still one of the best magazines out there.
I agree.
The images that they capture and how they present them in the magazine, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so you went from, I used the term daydreaming about National Geographic and the shooting, working with models. How was it going from doing landscape, flowers, abstract objects, into working with a model that you kind of had to please with your images?
Right. So I knew from before I ever started working with models that this is another person on the other end, and I wanted to make certain that what I shot was what they wanted.
Yes.
So one of the things that I've done from that day to this day is that the way that I structured the shoot would be that we would have a conversation beforehand about what they were looking to get.
I'd yes.
talk about what I had in mind. We'd share some concept photos, typically of something that we found online, said, okay, we like this, and this is the kind of, you know, setting, or this is the kind of look that we're trying to
yes.
get.
Yes.
Not to duplicate that, but to give a general idea about the shoot, how the shoot was going. And then typically what I would do after we shot in one location with a series of poses, I'd take a break and show the model the images, you know, on the camera,
mm-hmm.
so that they could say, yes, I like that, or let's do this one over because, you know, I didn't like the how I was posed.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, just I knew that I had another person there, and it was not just my – I wasn't the only one running the show. I wanted – it was a collaboration, and it still, mm-hmm. still is today.
Have you ever had a situation where a model swayed your thinking from – okay, example, you were shooting this angle – and the model said, well, I don't really like this after you show me a photograph of it. Let's change angles. Let's change location. Just
yeah, absolutely I have. And I'm fine with that. I mean, because, like I said, my number one goal is to produce something that model's going to like, mm-hmm. and they're going to want to do another shoot with me again in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always my goal.
Where do you get your inspiration for locations, outfits, ideas?
Ideas. Pinterest is a great source. I follow a lot of photographers and models on Instagram mm-hmm. and on Facebook. And so sometimes it will be, many times it'll be things that I've seen other photographers or models post that says, I love that idea. I love that thought, that image. I love the concept behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there are things that just pop in my head that is like, okay, I really want to do a shoot that looks like this.
Yes.
Now, when they actually come out at the end, it's like, that isn't exactly what I had in mind, but it's still good, and the model likes it. There's one shoot that I remember in particular. One of the images that I shared with you was of a lady that I saw her. This was when Game of Thrones was still big on TV, and I said, this girl is Khaleesi. And so we got an outfit for her, did this shoot in a studio of a friend of mine up in Louisville, and that turned out, again, it was kind of like this. I wanted to capture the ideas of Game of Thrones, that particular character in there, and it turned out really well. I'm not a big person with Photoshop,
right.
But I had friends that are,
mm-hmm.
and so we were able to get a shot where it looks like she actually has a dragon on her hand. So yeah, that was a pretty awesome shot. But I give a lot of credit to my friend who Photoshopped the dragon into it.
You just answered my next question, which was, do you ever look at images and say, I like that well enough, I want to shoot it, but put my own spin on it?
Yeah, absolutely. I do that all the time, all the time. So
I try doing that, and I'm thinking, yeah, I like that shot, but I would like to, do this differently. I would to pose her differently. I like to try that myself, you know.
Right.
Because I envision in my mind what I want the final product to be like.
Okay. See, I'm not. My brain doesn't really work that way. I mean, it's like I have a general idea, mm-hmm. and then we go and we shoot, and I edit in Lightroom. I like Lightroom a lot more than Photoshop from the standpoint that it's much faster, and with presets, I can I play around with the previews on the presets.
Okay.
I can do a 100 image shoot. Using the presets that, like, once I get a few of them, you know, get a look at what they look like on the screen,
mm-hmm.
it's like those are the one, two, or three presets I'm going to use on all of the images. Like, so I can burn through it in an hour or two.
Wow.
And so I typically get the final product back to the model in 1 to 2 days.
That fast,
yes.
I've had some models say about other photographers, I've waited a month or more. I've waited probably 6 weeks. Why does it take so long? Either the photographer is busy with other models. They may have a 40-hour job during the week, and this is their weekend passion, mm-hmm. or they've got tons of images to do the old-fashioned, whatever, Photoshop way.
Right.
I mean, how much time do you normally spend editing? It's very different.
It really depends a lot upon how much needs to go into it. Most of the time when I've got a good lighting situation, either in with a studio shoot or good daylight shoots outdoors. Like I said, I typically spend an hour or two on most of those. However, there have been situations where I've had a model who has some complexion issues.
Mm-hmm.
And Lightroom is not good at enhancing skin tones or removing blemishes or things mm-hmm. like that. And so I'll use another software program to address those, and that then takes probably 10, 15, 30 minutes per image to do that, and so that clearly takes much mm-hmm. More time. Or low light situations when there's a lot of grain, because I've had to shoot at high ISO mm-hmm. levels, There's a Topaz Labs has some great AI powered software that has done amazing things for photos that I originally thought I can't use this.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Okay, I may have to check that out. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen an image on Pinterest, an image that another industry professional has posted, either model or photographer, that you say, I want to duplicate that. That is going to be my dream shot right there.
You know,
you
I don't think
yet?
I know what you're talking about, but no, I actually haven't. The things that are in my head that kind of came up out of just, I don't know where they came from, actually, but it just popped in my head. That's like, man, I'd really love to do this kind of a shot. There's
yes.
two of them.
Yes.
Both would be, well, one would be sort of a storyline kind of shoot where, and sort of a Halloween themed or vampire themed thing. So
models, are you listening? Okay.
Yes. So the idea behind this, it would take a male model and a female model. And the storyline would be that some alpha male comes along and picks up this young innocent girl, and maybe out at a bar or some other social situations, you know, kind of not I wouldn't say it's persuasive, but he's actually kind of manipulating her into the bedroom.
Okay.
And then the idea is that once they are starting to become intimate, then we see a transformation in her face. Her eyes change color, and the vampire teeth come out. And then, you know, her ripping him to shreds, essentially.
Wow.
I've got that kind of a thought in mind. Another one that would definitely be required for a studio would be basically an art nude, but with the idea that the model is completely in like a chrome kind of body paint with bright gold as highlights for all the hair. Mm-hmm. So eyelashes, eyebrows, hair, and just, you know, that sharp contrast, and maybe even combining that with a Valkyrie kind of look, you know, the warrior goddess kind of thing that makes it ethereal. So I've not got to do either of those yet, but those
would be very interesting.
I think
yes.
It would be.
Yes. In all of these styles of photography as we know it,
mm-hmm.
how would you classify your style?
I would classify my style, I guess I would tend to do more as just like a photojournalism kind of style.
Okay.
I like to be able to tell a story with it. I like to be able to capture the person in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be able to use my own perspective and looking at the situation to say, or the scene, mm-hmm. to be able to say, I want to use this angle, or want to make sure I've got this kind of light illuminating them, so that it's not exactly planned, mm-hmm. but it's like being able to assess the scenario and the situation to highlight that person in the best possible way. So I don't know if that's a particular style or not.
Okay. Yes, it is, as a matter of fact. Do you consider yourself a glamour photographer? Editorial.
My favorite style is pinup.
Okay.
I like pinup.
50s pinup.
Oh, I'm sorry?
50s pinup, or 50, just
well,
retro pinup?
Any kind. I think the thing that defines pinup to me is where the model has, in most cases, going to have, you know, be made up, you know,
yes.
have face makeup, going to have styled hair.
Yes.
And will be flirty and sexy without being raunchy. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I think that provides for, and pinup photography to me also has a wide set of possibilities. So you can go from anything with an implied look to it to, mm-hmm. you know, the mom and her daughters.
Right.
So I think the idea behind it is taking some time for that person to dress maybe differently than what they normally mm-hmm. Do, and to have a fun experience with that, and to be able to have images that come out and they look great, mm-hmm. and that they can say, hey, you know, this is me.
I have always used the term whenever I converse with models mm-hmm. along that line, I want you to be sexy, classy, and not sexy, trashy.
Right. That's a good
phrase. A female knows the difference, okay?
Right.
And pinup, somehow in my mind, the first image pops in my mind are the images that you would see on the World War II fighter planes.
Yes. Nose art. I love it.
Bombers.
Mm-hmm.
Even the 50s pinup girls that you see at the drive-ins,
right?
56 Chevys, and
right?
All that. Those are the pinups that somehow just automatically pops in my mind. Okay?
Right. I agree. I've got a brother-in-law who lives up in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and he just recently bought himself a 1923. I forget which model it was, but I think if you remember from the Archie's comics,
yes,
the car that they had,
uh-huh,
that is this car. It's got a step on the frame. You have to step up and over because it doesn't even have the doors. It doesn't have the top. You know, it's just like in the Archie comics,
yeah.
And it's like, you know, if he'll let me, we'll probably have to have the models come out there because
yeah,
he still has a lot of work to do on it. But he did agree to, you know, kind of. I don't want to get in trouble with my wife. But
that is something you got to take into consideration.
Right,
yeah,
right, exactly.
Well, I mean, I love that idea. I really, really do. Your models that you have been working with, Instagram, Facebook, how have you been finding the models? Or
recently, yes, over, I'd say, well, recently, for the last 6 years, it's been typically through Facebook or Instagram, mostly Facebook. Mm-hmm. But as I mentioned that I was up at Fort Knox in the Louisville area,
yes,
when I started working with models and was doing group shoots, that's really where the majority of my contacts still are. And so I go up there every other weekend. We have a grandson that lives with us. His dad lives in southern Indiana. We take him up to E-Town to meet and we stay overnight at my sister-in-law's place. Mm-hmm. And that's an opportunity for me to reconnect with people that I knew up there. And that's, you know, so that's still where I most of my connections are, though I have done a fair number of shoots with models here in the greater Nashville area.
Mm-hmm. I know there are a few of the meet and greet model shoots that mm-hmm. are happening. Mm-hmm. There's one in, actually, there are two in Alabama. I know of maybe one in Kentucky somewhere. I find those to be a great way to not only network.
Right.
If you've got a new camera that you're trying to figure out, mm-hmm. let the model that you're working with, hey, this is a test shoot, okay? I don't know what's going to happen. I just bought this camera. I'm trying it out. So don't expect anything from me, okay?
Right.
It's a great way to network, learn your camera, and also make connections with a model. Okay, I like working with you here.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I've got this idea. How about you and I working on this concept later on?
Right. I like that. I've done that, actually. There was a meet and greet, several of them here in the Nashville area, and mm-hmm. I think the organizer of that is doing more stuff down in northern Alabama now. Mm-hmm. There's a group that meets up in Clarksville that I've done. A lot of it really is just the timing of it because
yes.
of that trip I have to make every other weekend mm-hmm. to Kentucky. It's like mm-hmm. they're doing a shoot this weekend. They were invited me to it. It's like, I can't go. I'm gonna be up north. So. But yes, I agree. Those are great opportunities to do that, to meet new faces, for the models to meet a number of photographers, and get a sense for, do I want to work with this person mm-hmm. again in the future?
What do you feel are some, if not one, of the biggest misconceptions that a young lady or young gentleman has when they want to get into this industry?
I would say that the idea that you're going to make a lot of money right at first is probably a huge misconception. The people that I've worked with, very few have actually gone on to get commercial gigs. Some have, and I'm very proud of them, very, very happy for them, but most have not. Mm-hmm. And I will have to say that, you know, I'm not a great marketer of myself. So I can't say, gosh, this is the way that to go and, you know, make some money doing photography. And I think that's really kind of the biggest thing. If you're doing this just to make money, then I think the real issue there is are you willing to work to find the connections with the people who shoot for organizations that have the money to pay? Or do you simply want to do it for the love of the art that you can create? And for me, it's like I've got other things going on in my life, too. So I've loved photography from the beginning. I want to love it all my life. 10, 12 years ago, when I was working with the folks up in Louisville and networking with a lot of photographers, and about half of them were established professional photographers, and most of them were looking to get out of the business.
Wow.
Because the business side of things had changed so drastically, even back then, and they were just disheartened, and it's like, I don't want everyone to be there. That's not where I want to be. I want to do this. Yes, I want to make money. I believe that my skill and my art are worth it, but I'm not going to have money it be the driver for me.
We do it because we enjoy it.
Right.
We have fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Those people you just mentioned, what do you think it was that took the fun out of it?
They were talking about, in most of these cases, these were studio photographers that were doing headshots, family portraits, and the like. And I think the advent of the cell phone with the mm-hmm. with the cameras in it took away a lot of their market. A lot of people said, I can do just as well. Now, could they? Probably not. I mean, but the fact of the matter is that the cameras in those phones today, and even back then, were pretty darn good. There's a photographer here in the Nashville area. If you haven't spoken with her, I'd recommend that you do and invite her on here. Her name is Nita Ann, and she shoots exclusively with her iPhone. She started out with an iPhone 12. Okay. Now it's an iPhone 13. Because of the nonprofit that I've run, I needed some headshots.
Okay.
I can't take them of myself.
Okay, right.
I had seen some of her posts on Facebook, and I decided to give her a shot because it's like incredibly inexpensive. And so I said, well, save me some money, and if it don't turn out, I'm not out that much. And she is awesome. Awesome, awesome. And she's doing it full-time. She makes a decent living doing it. And the fact of the matter is that, yes, if you are needing a telephoto lens,
yes,
you're not going to get that with an iPhone. But the majority of situations don't require that. And the work that she does is just awesome. It's like, do you have the vision? Can you take a situation and think about the angles, think about the expressions you're going to capture, think about, just the art behind it and mm-hmm. the controlling the light that makes it professional on her end? Because her work compared to, somebody who just takes lots of photos,
yes,
not professionally, it's astoundingly better.
I had a former guest on here. His name was Dave Collier.
I know him quite well.
Okay. He only shoots with a cell phone.
Right.
And my biggest question was to myself, as a photographer, do people take you seriously?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I think the issue with Nita, and I would recommend it for David too, is to price yourself at a point where people can be like I was, mm-hmm. where it's like, it's such a good price, I can't pass it up, and then and then she proved herself very first shoot, and it's like I've had her do more video for me because we've had to do videos for the nonprofit, and it's like she's my go-to girl now. Anytime I'm going to want some updated headshots, she's the one I'm going to choose. And I've told her, I've started working with her about 2 years ago, and I've told her you're way too underpriced, and she's finally upping her pricing, but she also has probably 400 shoots under her belt, and she's built a phenomenal portfolio of work that she can demonstrate to people, this is what I can do with this. And so she builds credibility by the product.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, Dennis, you were gracious enough to bring some images with you. So if you can, let's look at those images. And for the people that are listening, wherever they by the podcast,
mm-hmm.
And for the people that are watching on YouTube, can you please describe what we are looking at?
Oh, absolutely. So what we're looking at here, this model, her name is Lauren Landis. She lives up in Kentucky. And this was a 41 Packard that the owner of which had expressed the willingness to use the car in photo shoots.
Okay.
And when I heard him, saw that post, I said, I'm going to jump on this.
Yes, why not?
Lauren was one of three models that came out for this shoot in that 41 Packard. I told him I was looking for, you know, a 40s or 50s style look. Lauren does almost exclusive pinup, and she came. She didn't need the hair and makeup artist that I had hired for this event,
mm-hmm.
and came up camera ready in a 40s style dress.
Yes.
The shoes might not exactly be 40s style, but this was a shoot that I really loved doing. Now, I will say that she's a real trooper, and all of the models were, because this was shot at the end of March of, I think, 2018 or 19.
Probably not very warm that day.
It was 32 degrees outside. It was literally freezing.
Yes.
Bright, sunny day. You know, we didn't get super close-up shots because I didn't want the goose flesh to be showing.
Goosebumps.
That's right. But the idea here was to try and just create something that was going to look like a woman from the 40s in in that car. And what I loved about that particular shot was, I mean, that 41 Packard has what they call suicide doors.
So yes.
That door opened to the back instead of to the front. And I just loved her expression on that one.
Okay, and you are correct. The only thing that in my eye is not time period correct are her shoes.
Right.
Everything else, yeah. Hairstyle,
right?
Earrings. I mean, watch. I mean, outfit. I mean, that's a time period photograph.
Right. Absolutely.
Except the shoes.
And like I said, I've been following her ever since, and you know, she does almost exclusively pinup style.
Pinup style. Wow. Okay. Now, what do we have here?
What I have here is this is a model. Her name is Angelica. This was taken up in Cherokee Park in Louisville, and I had done several shoots with her previously, and she had asked me to do a shoot that helped her, because she's part Cherokee.
Okay.
And she wanted to do a shoot that honored that tradition and
her heritage.
Her heritage, because her grandmother was, I think, full-blooded Cherokee.
Okay, okay.
And so this was an image that came out of that shoot. I used a polarizing filter on the lens to darken the sky, and I just, when we were walking around in the park, and I saw how the light was falling on that tree, and it just popped that way, and everything else was more in shadow, I said, that's where I got to shoot. We got to get this image there, and this was my favorite from that shoot.
That is an interesting concept. Somebody wants to have the photograph done to tell a story, mm-hmm. about the heritage, Cherokee Indian. And then I've been thinking, okay, how am I going to pull this off? What do I shoot? How do I shoot? I mean,
so I knew when she said that we wanted to go in a native or natural setting.
Okay.
Because otherwise, you're going to have something that's going to be reflective of our current culture. So I didn't want any pavement. I didn't want any light poles. I didn't want any of that other stuff in the background. And then it was a matter of when we got to the park of just kind of wandering around for a while to look for settings where we could shoot different things. I must have had 70 or 80 images out of that shoot, and we had probably 10 different settings that we used. But like I said, when we came back and I did the edits, I said, man, that's my favorite of them all.
Yes.
And what we're looking at here, this model is, her name is Callie Clopton, and she lives in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and works at this coffee shop. I met her there at the coffee shop. The thing I liked about the old town, Elizabethtown, you can see in the reflection there, you've got a lot of old buildings with brick, and they had a number of them that had some pretty interesting colors to them. So we did a lot of shooting in around the square there, and then we went into the coffee shop. I've got some photos of her inside the coffee shop, and I noticed this window that was letting in a lot of light, and I said, I want to try something. I want to have you stand close to the window. I'm going to go outside and capture this image here, because I knew, because of the lighting, that I was probably going to get some reflections, which we did. And what I loved about this is that you've got the reflections, you've got her pictured there. She's holding the coffee cup. So I just love that whole look.
Okay, now Dennis, help me out here. I've tried to do something like this. How do you keep from getting your own reflection?
Well, you have to be aware of it.
Yes.
And
I put myself in the picture. Now, how do you do this now?
I just know that I have to look at the angles. So typically, I'm not going to take the shot straight on, because otherwise I'm going to be in that. I'm almost always going to have to be at an oblique, like 40 degrees off center from that. And that's what I did there. I mean, I recently did a shoot where I had the model with a mirror. That was a tough one, because I'm always looking at, I like how the model is. I like how I can see her in the mirror, but I'm also in it. It's like, no, I can't do that. I got to change position.
Drives me crazy. How do I do this? I got to figure this out. Yep. Okay, now.
All right.
Is a very interesting image right here. Tell me what this.
Okay, so this was a Christmas time shoot that I wanted to do. This was done in studio in Louisville. Had a photographer friend who has passed away a few years ago. His name was Tony Welsher, and
remember him. Yes.
Good guy. Loved him. And he let me use his studio several times over the years that I knew him. And the model is Chrissy McKim. She is a full-time physical therapist, and she likes to model for fun. And we were talking about these winter Christmas theme kind of looks, and we'd exchange concept ideas back and forth. And she was good friends of a body makeup artist in Louisville named Steve-O Shepherd. Steve-O is what he goes by. And she said, Steve-O will do this for me. And so it's like we agreed upon a time. I show up at Tony's studio, and it's like, she's late. She finally messages me back. We started about an hour and a half late, and she said she apologized that Steve-O had this concept, and so this was not the concept that we had discussed at all, but it was like his idea, and she says, I'm coming as a candy cane. Well, actually, it's like it's like one of those peppermint mints, and the like.
Yeah.
And that was the concept, and we shot quite a bit there in the studio with her like that. This is my favorite image because it shows the detail of the work that he did, both on her skin and in her hair, and with the application of the candy elements on the nose, eyebrows, and cheeks there. So, that's
and the time that it had to take to get that done.
Oh, yeah. Steve-O is very detailed, extremely detailed, and it's like I've talked with him about his other shoots, and it's like it's expensive to hire him, but that's why you want to hire him, because you get that kind of result.
Okay, and we have this now.
This is Erica Batchelor. She's a Nashville-based model, and she had just done her hair in these braids.
Okay.
And so we talked about she wanted to do the shoot where we could highlight and feature those.
Mm-hmm.
I live in White House. There's a cigar lounge there that I love and hang out with and know the owner and has got his permission to, mm-hmm. to use his cigar lounge to do this shoot in. And so we're actually in the humidor of that cigar lounge. And basically, we talked about him using this image to advertise his business. I don't know that he ever has, but it's like I felt it was an excellent image that could be used as an advertising piece mm-hmm. for that specific business or that specific brand of cigar.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And with that, too, we're using just the fluorescent lighting that he had inside there. I didn't have didn't use flash. I just did color correction afterwards mm-hmm. with Lightroom to get more natural skin tone look for her.
All right. Dennis, thank you for bringing those with you. I mean, they are very wonderful images.
Thank you so much.
I mean, this shows your broad spectrum of being able to photograph not only models with paint makeup,
mm-hmm.
but your retro pinup style.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it shows you've got a broad range of ability, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate
that. And I'm sure that all the models that are listening, watching, will appreciate that.
I hope so.
I really, really do. At this part of the show, I like to give my guest an opportunity to bring up to the forefront any topic that is, shall I say, dear to their heart.
Okay.
A topic that maybe people are afraid to talk about.
Okay.
People that are embarrassed by something that has maybe happened to them in the past that has been troubling them. I've had models talk about mental health,
mm-hmm.
Peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Models talk about the self-confidence.
Right.
Is there any topic that is dear to you that you feel, doggone, it's time somebody talk about this and I'm going to do it?
I do have several things that motivate me strongly.
Bring them on.
What I would say, number one, is safety for the model and for the photographer. So I've heard of photographers that don't want a model to bring an escort with them or a boyfriend.
Red flag right there.
Oh, exactly. I mean, for me, my number one concern is for the safety of the model. And especially
one, yes.
If I have never worked with that person before, why would they don't know me. Why mm-hmm. would I want them to feel as comfortable as possible? Therefore, I always recommend that they bring somebody, especially when we're doing a first shoot, so that they can, there won't be anything untoward possible happening.
Right, right.
I think it's important from the standpoint of a photographer as well to invite people to be present. Actually, I do a lot of my shooting with my wife. I do that for a couple of reasons. Number one being that I love her perspective. And almost always she will say, okay, well, I think let's do a shoot, with this, from this angle, mm-hmm. from that.
Mm-hmm.
The ones when I wind up not doing it, it's like, okay. you know, she's looking through the images and she's saying, well, why didn't you do that? And I said, because you weren't there to tell me, suggest it. I think
I needed my assistant there. Where were you?
Right, exactly. So I think the issue of self-image, self-confidence, depression, suicide, those are all tied together in my mind. And I think that just because people like you or I can see those images and say, man, that person is beautiful, they're wonderful, that's not how they necessarily see themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if there's any impact that my photography has to help somebody be able to say, hey, this is how somebody else sees me, mm-hmm. and can maybe counter some of that negative self-talk that goes on. Mm-hmm. There was a model I shot a number of years ago, only did one photo shoot for her, and 5 years later I understood that she had died of a drug overdose.
Oh, no.
It was horrible, horrible, horrible. And so I guess my statement and to people who are considering being in the modeling industry is that, you know, nobody's perfect. Everybody has flaws. But you are unique, and you have a look that somebody wants to see. And we should find value in that. Every person that we lose to suicide leaves a big hole in somebody's heart, and yes. It's never going to be filled.
I think the first person that comes to my mind that you would have never thought would have any kind of an issue would be Robin Williams.
Right. Right.
Who would have ever thought, okay?
I certainly didn't. It was a complete shock to me, but, from a previous life, I have a background, an educational background in psychology and counseling. And so I know that there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get discussed at all. And especially with guys, but I mean women as well. But we typically want to show our best face to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that trouble us inside are rarely expressed, never talked about, and seeking help is just something that we don't do for a wide variety of reasons. The nonprofit that I run tells stories of service members who died while in service, and our very first story is that of a sailor who was lost at sea, but 11 years prior he had had a suicide attempt, and so that casts a shadow and a doubt about exactly what caused his death. If it hadn't been for that prior suicide attempt, that it would never have been in anybody's mind that he might have willfully gone overboard. And so the writer who collected all of the material titled the book Silent Soul, because mm-hmm. this is exactly what he was. He was mm-hmm. he'd make jokes, he'd play music, he'd be the life of the party, but yet something absolutely was going on in his heart, at least at that time, 11 years prior to his loss. And all of the people that we knew, that we found that knew him well, said that he'd never, ever talked about the things that troubled him, mm-hmm. which is a sad commentary. My statement would be that no matter what you think, If you've got stuff troubling you, you should be willing to talk to somebody.
Yes, yes. Tony, Dennis, I want to thank you for your years of service.
Oh, absolutely.
I really do appreciate you doing that. And for the models, I don't know if it's peer pressure that we photographers put on you or if it's a peer pressure you have from other models in the industry, don't be afraid to talk to somebody, okay?
Right.
We're here to listen to you, okay? Right. And with that being said, Dennis, for the people that are wanting to contact you after this podcast airs, how may they contact you?
They can contact me through email. They can contact me by phone. I have a presence on Facebook and Instagram. Schroeder Photography is, we have a photography page on Facebook and Instagram, both Schroeder Photography. They can write to me, email at Schroeder, schroeder.photography@gmail.com. Or my phone number is 253-861-8845. Yeah, that's a Pacific Northwest number, but it's a cell phone number I first got 22 years ago.
Okay, okay.
It's come with me lots of different places.
Followed you all the way around. Dennis, thank you for being a guest on the Model Connection podcast. I have thoroughly enjoyed sitting here talking with you. I could talk with you for hours on the end. I sincerely appreciate you being here.
Well, I sincerely appreciate you giving me the opportunity, Eric. This has been wonderful.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for tuning into the Model Connection podcast. Please like, follow, and subscribe on social media and everywhere you get your podcast. Links are in the description. Thank you and bye-bye.